Welcome to a new episode on the Poetry Hood podcast. Today's guest is not just a poet, he is a sensational poetic rapper. I stumbled upon a freestyle video of his on my Instagram feed, and it really felt like I got a sneak peek into a gem of a performer that is new to our community. And you know when you discover a raw talent that you feel is about to take the world by storm, and you just want to celebrate what they're doing and share it with the world? Well, here I am doing my best at that by inviting Yaz to a conversation with me on the Poetry Hood podcast. And I invite you to discover who Yaz is and his amazing poetry and rap music. Happy poetry listening.
Bummed out, worrisome, complicated, frustrated. I want this and this and that. Please remind me of who I am, 'cause I got lost again. This world keeps changing. Everything is complicated. Take my PC and smash it into pieces. I want, but I don't need this. Is inner peace just a conversation for a different time? I need to feel alive. I need to live my purpose on the surface of this earth with people I connect with. Why do you project resentment? You make my extroversion feel infantile. I'm a brilliant, stupid, genius child. I'm a hateful pacifist. I'm a manic advocate of love. I'm a lame but still cool enough. My enemies and friends, I dap them up. I really care, but I know what I'm not supposed to do, but I still do it. I am imperfect. I do something and I stick to it. I'm trying to comprehend the beauty of the people that I see despite what I see, because there's a synergy inside of all our energies. I changed a lot, but I'm still the same. I'm so proud, but I'm so ashamed. What's life after innocence is lost but disappointment? I'm searching for the God that we rejoice with while dealing with temptations that I'm not poised with. I smell paradise but taste poison. Am I worthy of being anointed? She loved me, but she didn't. Every day to my memories, I pay a visit of good friends and family I no longer see. It's like you don't remember me, like nothing ever happened. Like I was just a chapter or a passage in your book of life. Oh, what a life. Oh, what a life.
Let's get into some interesting questions, shall we?
Yes, yes, let's do that.
At what age did you find out that poetry is a thing that will engulf your life?
Yeah, so when I was about 14, 15, I was obviously on Facebook just like everybody else, but I was obsessed with the notes on Facebook. There was this option, I think it's still available, but there was this option on Facebook where you can literally like write notes. So before I ever started performing, before I ever started doing anything that was like live, I would write these notes. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even call it poetry. It was just like freelance writing or free form writing. And then eventually I realized that this structure, it's poetry.
So you'd write like a line and then
Whole bodies of work, like just thoughts, abstract thoughts. It's just this, I think it's like the journey of the teenager that realizes that, you know, like what art is, or like you have that phase when you're a teenager where you kind of just want to like have this ambience. And then I just vented through
Facebook notes.
Through Facebook notes. And so, people were receptive of it.
So you were a teenager?
Yeah. How old? I was like 14.
Okay.
14, 15. Yeah.
That's jokes. Are they still there?
Probably.
But, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. They're still there.
We should maybe like link the Facebook notes on the description.
We should. But
so did you start rapping first, would you say, or writing poetry?
No, I started writing first.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I started writing first. I'm at heart, I'm a writer.
Because it's interesting, because I discovered you as a rapper first. And then like I discovered that you want to do poetry as well. Okay, would you say, so you would say that you're a poet who raps or a rapper who writes poetry? Currently, as of today, let's say.
Look, I think art in and of itself, I try not to limit it. Mm. I try to look at art as one art form.
Yeah.
And that sounds, I think that sounds a bit philosophical, but for me, if I'm writing a poem or I'm rapping or I'm like even drawing to an extent, or like just taking like really cool photos, I think it all derives under the same thing that's called art. But if I was to get really specific and talk about like rap and poetry,
yeah,
I think they're like cousins, you know, of this thing called writing. I would say that I am, yeah, I'm a writer, man. Like when I was like 6 years old, 7 years old, in school, they'd give us these prompts for like writing short stories. A teacher would tell you like, oh, you have to create this short story and like you have to create this narrative, and my imagination would just let loose since mm-hmm. I was a kid. Like it's something that it was almost in me, like it was in my DNA, you know.
Do any of your family members write or do any arts?
Actually, no.
Okay.
Yeah. That was actually a challenge for me a bit growing up, because it wasn't something that was common in my family, like just being like super artistic and...
Yeah, neither my family, yeah. Man. Like none of my parents, my brother or my sister are like super into literature or any art form for that matter.
Yeah.
One thing though I took like some inspiration from is my grandfather from my dad's side. He has like a huge library of books.
Oh, wow.
And I just remember whenever we visit them in Jordan, I just like love sitting around books.
Amazing.
And just
amazing.
Grab anything and just read. I was like a little kid. I didn't understand what I was reading. I'll just like read it.
Amazing. Did he write as well?
I don't think he wrote that much, but he read a lot.
Yeah.
He's like one of those people who like knows a lot of like random facts. So much so when we watch like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire together.
And he would like answer all
the
questions.
Dude, he'd kill it. Sometimes like the show, like the contestant in the show, most of the times the contestant of the show would get it wrong. And he's like, well, like, yeah, but like, answer C.
He would know it on the spot.
Yeah, and then the contestant would answer B and then they'd lose. And we're like, oh, damn it. We can't know how far he would have gone if the show kept going.
Yeah.
And we actually even tried to get him to like sign up to go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but he wasn't down for it.
Would you say that he was also inspiration to you?
Definitely, 100%. Yeah. My grandfather. To this day, actually. And he like gives me a lot of shit because the Poetry Hood doesn't have enough Arabic content. He tells me like, لازم تقرأ قصائد عربية.
We need some more Darwish style.
Yeah, exactly. I really like what you said about like writing poetry and rap being cousins.
Yeah, that's cool.
Do you have more to say about like rap and poetry and their relationship together? I have another question. When you write, is it in your mind that this is going to be rap or this is going to be poetry? Or
when I was younger, that didn't exist. I think writing, it still was like, I was still trying to explore the different channels. But now it did really get specific. So now, like, if I'm rapping, I know that I'm creating a rap song.
Okay.
Like, I'll write, and it would be in the structure of rap.
Right.
And sometimes something interesting would actually happen, though, because I will write a whole rap song, and if I feel like it can be a poem, I will try to adapt it. Sometimes the actual like song itself wouldn't be changed. The words wouldn't be changed, but the performance would be reiterated in a way that kind of resembles maybe spoken word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. See that? So that shows you how they're so close. They're such like cousins, you know, because I can take this rap and I can make it into a poem,
right?
And it will literally be like, it will just become poetry. After all, rap's rhythm and poetry, so that's literally what it stands for, so.
And when you take it to poetry, I feel like it would have like different effect on people. Even though it's still the same words,
but
you perform it in a different way, and then
there's this energy I think from rap, it's like this identity thing, I think, with rap, where I think a lot of rappers specifically, like conscious rappers, are trying to find their identity. They're trying to like frame their identity. They're trying to... It's this constant exploration of your identity. So there's a lot of energy in that, you know? Like, it's just challenging yourself and trying to really, really find out who you are, exploring the depths of yourself. So when you take that and you put it in the spoken word poetry form, I think it just amplifies it. Like it's just really amplifies it.
Why? Because would you say it's because there's no like music in the background? It's just you and your words? Like strictly.
Yeah. It's like, and when you have the beat, it kind of, it serves like a backup or like a frame or like a structure. But when you're on that stage and you're just, you're saying these really, really powerful, like you're revealing these layers of yourself to a crowd, like.
There's less filtering and you're more vulnerable.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Just complete vulnerability.
Oh, I agree 100% with that. That's true. Yeah. So you've been writing poetry, you would say, since you were 14, like technically, even though they're Facebook notes.
Facebook notes. Shout out to Facebook. And the people that actually liked those notes at that time when I was just a rebellious teenager. Shout out to you guys.
But how about rap? How long have you been rapping?
Rap started around the same time, like a bit after. So like I started writing Facebook notes when I was like 14, and then when I was probably I would say like 16, I started rapping.
Cool.
Yeah. I was living in, like, I was born and raised in the US, but I was living in Amman at that time, and Amman kind of like, it changed my life in a way. Like it really opened my mind up to a lot.
How so?
Because I lived in middle class America, suburbia, my whole life.
Where in America?
Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah. But it wasn't like the city. It was like the suburbs. So it was the outskirts. Very rural, small town lifestyle. A lot of the people, like, bless the people that live there. I love everybody that I grew up with. But it was a very small town environment. You know, people are very much more simple, you know. So you grow up, you tend to live a very simple life. So when I came to Amman, it had this urban feel to it. Like it was my first time living in an urban environment, and I was exposed to this, you could say, like the right brain, left brain, right, where like this creative side of people that I was never really exposed to. I was never exposed to like a network or a creative network of people, especially people that were my age, right? So, so like I'm 15, I'm 16, and I'm like I'm going to this like international school in Jordan, and I had no expectations. Like I didn't know what to expect at all. And so I'm meeting people my age that are really into, they can tell me what happened 300, 400 years ago in history. And they're talking to me like in this really intellectual manner. And I'm just, it's like a shockwave to me. It hits me like, wow, like what is this? So it opened me up a bit. And I was learning about myself in the process until I actually met a group of hip hop artists in Amman, right? And it was primarily Arab rap.
Cool.
Yeah, it was Arab rap. It was like a cultivation of Arab hip hop artists. But of course, there were some that were rapping still in English.
Okay.
Yeah. So I really linked with that group a bit.
Yeah,
more.
I bet you're related to them more totally. Growing up 15 years in America.
Totally.
You want to drop any names?
Shout out to Bilal Shuli. Shuli. Shuli really, he was a peer, but at the same time, he was a mentor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
It was really cool because he started before me.
Uh-huh.
And he taught me a lot. He taught me a lot.
And he grew up in Jordan? Like
he grew up in Amman. Okay. Yeah, he grew up in Amman. He really like gave me a lot of insight.
So you started poetry and rap like since teenage years.
Yeah.
And how have you seen both of them evolve as you grew up? How old are you now?
I'm 24.
Okay.
Just turned 24.
Yeah. So that's a decade.
It's a decade. Well, I could say that like in regards to studying the industry or the art form evolve, I really focused on rap. So like when I became a rapper, I really gravitated towards that since I was like 16, 15. And I watched it evolve. And it's like, it changed so much. It kept changing. Like I remember it was like 2010 that I really got into it. And around that time, Eminem came out with his Recovery album, which I think for a lot of hip hop heads, it was a shockwave. Like, you know, you bring Eminem's back, but Eminem is like he's this really serious Eminem. And at the time, I think Lil Wayne was like really, really, really popular. But there was this constant battle with commercial rap. Like there was like this commercial and underground. There was this battle of like, oh, you're either really underground or you're either really like commercial.
Yeah.
And so you had to stick to one. So if you were underground, like you're underground. Like you stick to hip hop and its roots. And then if you're really commercial, you're considered maybe like a sellout or you're just doing it for the money. But something happened where it evolved with the internet and like mobile, and you have people like J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar come about who really like shifted the industry where it's like, hey, you know what? I can be a really authentic hip hop artist and be true to myself, but at the same time, I could sell records.
Yeah, I can be commercial as well.
So it gave me hope. Like it gave me hope. Like, yeah, wait, I could do this and I could actually be like successful at the same time. Yeah. So
I mean, you got to make a living at the end of the day.
Totally, totally. So I was very young and I just kept paying attention to watching this industry evolve and this art form evolve until I'm here in Dubai. And I think I kept evolving with the art form itself. And now I think I'm ready to harness my evolution. Okay. Like I think I've reached a point where I'm ready to showcase myself to the world. Yeah.
So I noticed you've been dropping like a bunch of singles here and there. Any album coming up or anything like that?
There's some project concepts being worked on the way. Cool. You can expect a single very soon.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, a single. Like this something that I wrote this song during Ramadan. Mm-hmm. And it's special. I think that's all I can say right now. It's really, awesome. Really special, and it really marks my growth as an artist. Like this is next level for me. Yeah, I'm really excited for people to hear it. It's interesting. Different. It's different.
Yeah, I've been listening to your music on SoundCloud. I gotta say, there's a couple that I like really enjoy listening, and I constantly go back to them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll mention a couple of ones that I personally like. Sure. Outbreak, really good, really good. And you got another one that you posted on Instagram, and that's how I heard it, 16 Bars.
Okay.
Man, the start of the beginning of 16 Bars really catches it. I'm like, oh, damn.
Yeah, I just wanted to like just go in. Like, there's a lot of times where I have so many records where I'm just rapping. Like, I love the skill. Mm-hmm. There's this thing, you know, about like the rhyming.
Yeah,
I haven't done that in such a long time. Uh-huh. I think, and I wanted to really tap into it with that 16 bars on Instagram.
Yeah, I really like that one. How does it start again? Can you do you remember?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all over the place with bars. I can give you bars all day.
So you can freestyle too, right?
Yeah, totally. Cool. Yeah, I think it was part of the like hip hop, being in a hip hop circle, you have to really like, you have to be like a freestyler, or sometimes you'd be put on the spot and you'd have to like rap battle. So that became something like, I gotta do it. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Sometimes people would be, it evolves with you at the time. Like you're sitting with like a group of rappers and you know, you're in a cypher and you're put in that position where you have to really show yourself and you have to showcase like boom, I'm here.
Right.
So there's I can still like sit in a cypher and just like,
what's a cypher exactly?
A cypher is when you're a circle of rappers.
Okay.
And you could do it in a cappella or you could do it in with a beat.
With a beat, yeah.
So you each take turns and you start rapping.
Oh my god.
It could be a 16 bar verse, it could be a 32 bar verse, whatever you want. But it's really that you're put in the arena, right? Uh-huh. Like, this is when you show yourself as a rapper. Rap is competitive. Rap is it's an art form, but it's a sport at the same time. So you, when you're in that cipher, that arena, you got to really, you showcase yourself. And that, I was very competitive about that. Like, I think it was because when I was first exposed to it in Amman, there was this competitive nature to it, right? Like, and I wanted to prove myself. There was that constant trying to prove myself. So,
were there shows in Amman as opposed to, like, Dubai? Also, there are shows, obviously.
Yeah.
How would you say the difference is between the shows in Amman and here?
Well, I think Amman, there is a bit of a challenge, a cultural challenge, because you have this fear of not saying the wrong thing.
Right.
So I mean, I think it's growing. There's a lot of successful talents emerging now, but I think there's this issue with venues getting booked. Like, you can't get booked everywhere in the city.
Oh, true. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I can, like, I've just heard stories recently of artists that they're booked in, like, they get booked in one place.
Yeah.
But they try to get booked in another, and it would be something that has to do with too many guys, too many, like, kick shabab, ktir shabab, like,
okay.
Being it becomes a bit of a headache. You know, you put so much energy and so much effort into be a voice for people in your city. You want to represent your city, and then you want to go to a venue, and the venue is like, hey, no. Like, we're worried that the crowd that you bring
are not the type of crowd we want around.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
I can see
that. So it's a bummer.
Yeah.
But I like Dubai because Dubai is very open. Like, I was so happy with the winter, like the winter season. Like, there was so much going on, man.
I would definitely be happy in the winter season as opposed to the summer season.
The summer season. Summer season. FYI, if you don't live in Dubai, you have to understand that. Like, your summer is our winter. Like, it's literally the opposite. But when that January, December hits.
Oh, man, like, these are some good months.
Yeah, some good months and just some amazing events. Amazing events.
True. Like,
I couldn't even keep up with all the things that were going on, man.
Seriously.
Yeah, for real.
Because everyone's, like, just locked in indoors where there's air conditioning all the time.
Yeah.
And winter comes and you're just like, wow, stand outside and breathe.
Oxygen? Like, no sweat on my forehead? Yeah. Like, this is life right now?
Oh, man, armpit sweat, man. Oh, my God, that shit sucks.
Hey, yo, drop that shit. Yo. Yeah. Hey, yo, drop that mic. Hey, yo, put down that microphone. What are you doing with that thing? What are you doing with that? USB microphone master. Even if I go left, I still move right past ya. Ask ya, favorite rapper, to say bye to his family and friends. My bullying is intense, I made a fan out your friends. You bout as common as sense, but you ain't got common sense. I am not here to pretend, I am here to shake you up until you give up, until you hear my rhymes and get the hiccups. Calm the heck down, cause you ain't up to what you live up. It's a necessity for you to be fuddled from these complexities. They used to bump my CDs and got their mind fucked at ease. Illiterate, belligerent, children that I am handling with benevolence. An educated Bedouin that fell in love with predicates. Sayonara to the other side as I murdered them with verbal cyanide. Consciousness is intertwined by design, but redefined by the thoughts that I rhyme. Man, I do it every time. Man, I do it every time. Man, I do it every time. Man, I do it every time.
Okay, Yaz.
Yes.
What advice do you have for aspiring poets who want to be heard and want to express themselves more openly?
I would say first, be authentic. Just be yourself. Like, don't try to be anybody else other than who you are, because when you really embrace yourself, you'll understand that you are super, 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 super unique. Mm-hmm. Everybody, each person, you have so much individuality. Like, your life is so much different than somebody else's. You have your own story. You've been through so much in your life that nobody else has gone through. Your pattern of life is just so different than someone else. So when you keep that in mind and you understand that everybody has a story, everybody has a journey that they've been on, and you can take that and put it into words, that's like prime, I think.
Yeah, I noticed like sometimes people have like deep, strong, big personal story to tell on the stage. Other times people don't have that huge story, like the one that's like really touching, let's say, or really worth writing like massive amounts of poetry and big pieces. But then you have your own experience of like observing some things. Like, you could be like sitting in a park and you just like notice a leaf or like something that a bird did. Yeah. That really eggs you on to write something.
Totally.
And then that's your like personal experience.
Yeah, totally. I think the beautiful thing about poetry is you can generate inspiration from anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But I think a challenge is maybe sometimes people don't tell their story is the fear. I think there's a fear of being vulnerable. I think we were talking about this earlier. Being vulnerable. Sometimes you get on a stage and you don't want to open your heart, or you're scared to open your heart because of maybe what people will think, maybe people will judge you, maybe people will look at you differently from when you get on the stage to when you get off. But actually, there's beauty in that, because if you talk about your pain, for example, let's say you go on stage and you talk about something that you really went through, something difficult that you really went through, you don't know who you're going to connect with from that crowd or whoever's watching you. Whatever the medium is, totally. You'll connect to someone. Mm. You'll relate to somebody else's struggle through your own words. So I would definitely say that should be an aim as well. Is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to open up your heart.
Yeah, it's always like such a crazy whirlwind of an experience when you're sitting in a crowd. Like, let's say I'm sitting in the crowd,
yeah.
And I see someone performing, and it has happened many times where the performer starts like breaking out in tears.
Oh yeah.
Me as like a viewer, I'm always like, oh my God, roller coaster of emotions. And
totally. I've been in that position before where I was the crowd and I've seen poets perform. And yeah, I'm not ashamed to say that. Like, I would become very vulnerable. Yeah. Like, I would cry. Like this is super powerful.
Yeah.
Like, I would be captivated. Like, I would...
Automatically.
Yeah, you freeze.
Yeah, because you're like, freeze. Oh my God. Like,
totally.
Because then you're relating, you become so empathetic with like the performer, and you start feeling kind of what she's feeling, or totally. He. And yeah.
Totally.
Okay, another question. Super hypothetical, kind of stupid, but if you had a 3-word billboard that everyone in the city, let's say Dubai, is passing by, what 3 words would you put on that billboard?
That is a bit challenging. I got it. Just be yourself.
Okay, cool.
That's it. Yeah.
That's funny because the last interview was just do it.
A lot of just in the situation.
Yeah. I think I might have to change that question.
Sounds like an advertisement, a very familiar advertisement.
Yeah, seriously, that's exactly what I said. I don't know if I'm going to continue asking that question in the future. Okay, well, who's your inspiration as a poet?
Mm.
And then who's your inspiration as a rapper?
Right. I think in regards to poets or poetry, my inspiration comes from the crowd.
Oh, okay.
The crowd that I engage with. There's something about being at a poetry event and just getting a feel with the people. There's this connectedness about being with the people that are around you or the people that you're performing to, performing and then getting their reaction. It's this thing where like I'll perform a poem and then I'll get feedback from somebody that was there or a reaction from somebody that was there that really opens up my own mind, and it creates this series of thoughts or inspirations where, like, okay, what can I do for these people that's going to inspire me, that's going to inspire them back again? So yeah, there's this connectedness about poetry. There's really intimate, there's this intimacy about it.
Yeah.
But when it comes to rap, I think rap, it is definitely more of artists that inspire me. There is this thing of, like, for example, I'll listen to, like, Kendrick Lamar or J. Cole.
Okay.
Kendrick especially. Like, I'll listen to his music and his art, and it really drives me. It opens up my mind a lot.
Tab, I have a question for you. Who do you think is someone that you can go back to that gives you, like, the kind of feedback that you want to hear? Not, like, in terms of, like, good feedback, like, always positive, but as in feedback that is useful and...
Like, from a personal level? Like, if
personal level, so yes.
So people that I know?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it would be definitely, like, peer artists that I've worked with. I haven't had a lot of, like, artistic mentors. It always was like a colleague. It was always like someone that I worked with before as an artist that I would go to, and I would I just really consider their work renowned. So, like, you have Shuli, for example, who I mentioned.
Yeah.
And Msalla Mehdib. He's a Arab hip hop artist based in Jordan. He's from Jordan. So, like, I can share music that I haven't released with artists like this, and they can really give me true opinions, true feedback. Like, I want to hear from them. I want to know what they think about my work, and, like, how it really gives me a different perspective when I hear it from another artist that I really like, I really revere.
Yeah, because I notice, like, sometimes when I perform, like, on a stage,
yeah,
and then I get off, and then everyone's saying, like, oh, that was amazing, that was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, sometimes I'm looking for that, like, that was good, but this is how you could have been better, so on and so forth. Or, like, this is the part of your poem that really connected with me. I like hearing that more than, like, the general, like, oh, that was so good.
Totally. Well, like, in regards to the poetry specifically, touching back on it, I think for me, the mark of improvement, or, like, the marks of improvement, it's not about a technical standpoint. It's not about, like, how good my poem was, or how much rhymes I put in a poem, or how... anything of that matter. It's the emotional connection.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what? Like, okay, I know you were connected very well, but, like, what is it exactly? Like, let's dig deep into it.
Yes, totally.
Which also got me thinking, like, these poetry events that we do, I feel like it's begging for, like, something after the event.
Yeah.
Like, let's say, like, a social mixer right after the event.
Totally.
Where people are just, like, walking around, and then they can approach the poet and speak to them and have, like, a long form conversation. So, like, just like this podcast, for example, like, this is a comparison that I always do with podcasting. So podcasts, it's like we sit down and we dig deep into each other's lives and we get to know each other very well. As opposed to, like, these interviews that you watch that are, like, 5 minutes long and you just got to put in the question and get the answer out really fast. And it's, like, very on a very shallow level. So I feel like that's what's happening after the events. We're having these shallow conversations. But if we have, like, a proper social mixer. And,
yeah, totally.
And, you know, some people are getting drinking, opening up.
Well, I think in big cities and in Dubai specifically, there's this craving for a lot of people. And big cities can be lonely.
Oh, totally.
You can get very lonely. You can get very lonely in big cities, and you can have that desire for social interaction and just connectedness with people. You want that, right? Yeah. So when you come to a poetry event, especially events like yours, like your events have done that in such a curated way. Like, there's this thing about, especially the Ramadan events that I participated in. Yeah. There was this vibe about it that these people that are coming to the events and watching the poets perform it. It was about the poetry, but it was also the social experience, like you're saying. Like, I'm here and I'm
Making friends.
I'm making friends and I'm hearing words. Like I'm hearing these words of truth. Like this, yeah. Because there's a lot of social element to poetry, right? So it's just a vibe, man. It's just a vibe. It's like these, you know, people that come, they really, it's really chill. It's super, super chill. And
I feel like people's guards are down, you know, like there's no like, oh, this is awkward or anything like that. Speaking of Dubai being like a lonely place, I grew up here. So I never felt like that because I had my childhood friends around all my life. Very thankful for that. And I like that's one of the major points why I love Dubai so much. Also, my family are here. But I've heard it over and over again from many people who just moved to Dubai after they grew up like 20 plus. They say it's really difficult to make friends here.
Yeah. I think that happened to me when I first got here. Like, thankfully, I have my sister here, which was good. I didn't feel like a total loneliness. But, you know, from that friend element, it's like I came here. I didn't really know too many people, right? Mm. It was tough to make friends.
Yeah, you got to really step out of your comfort zone to make friends in Dubai. One of the big reasons, I think, is that you can't just walk outside your house and start walking. Like, you gotta get inside a car. You're going to especially a specific with the heat place.
Yeah.
It's just the culture, I guess. You can't just approach someone and start talking to them directly.
Yeah, it's like this thing. There is this definitely distance or disconnect when you feel this disconnect. I, at least personally, I felt this disconnect when I first got here. But there's something special happens though. I think if you're persistent and you really believe that you can connect with people, there's this thing, this quality about people that come to Dubai that kind of eventually, you know, so if you're somebody that's listening and you are kind of going through that, you just have to understand that there is this, you just have to be a bit persistent because there is this beautiful quality when you finally do connect with people in Dubai, you realize that people that come to Dubai or people that were already here, there's something that brings people here together. There's something about Dubai that this quality that people that come to Dubai have, I think.
Yeah, like it's a beautiful quality. I mean, it's a melting pot of like so many different types of people. Totally. It's just that you got to find your circle.
Yeah.
And once you do, you're going to get connected with this guy, with this girl. This girl's going to connect you with these other guys that you know are good, like good connections to have for you.
Totally.
So on and so forth.
Yeah. I have a lot. I breathe fresh air and drink fresh water and see the world with two eyes unbothered and host extremely complex thoughts in a small container of pink matter. I have a lot. A nose that smells fresh roses and sea salt from the ocean. A monthly paycheck that puts food in my mouth. And when the weather gets bad, I can hide in my house. This life thing, man, it's so awesome. I could go outside and watch a flower blossom free of charge. And when it's nighttime, I can lay down and chill with the stars. I have a lot.
I want to talk a little bit about your writing process.
Sure.
Do you have like tips and tricks on like getting yourself like to write?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you when I first started as a writer and I was, you know, trying to rap or do poetry, it wasn't easy to write like a full piece. There was this motor in the mind that was still trying to spin, right? It was still trying to move. I know that sounds very poetic, but
I mean, you are a poet.
But it was challenging at first. It wasn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like it required a bit of thinking. The writing, it wasn't fast, right? Like if I had a piece, whether it was a rap song or a poem, it would take me a good few days to write like one piece and be like, this is a piece. But something happened. I think it was like a skill set in the brain where you do it so many times that it just becomes intuitive. But I think what helped me with that is reading.
Oh.
Yeah. Like there's this power about like reading a book, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. But I would say fiction specifically gives you, I think it gives more inspiration.
Yeah, imagination. Yeah. What's your favorite book?
The Alchemist. I know that might be cliche, but like The Alchemist, yeah, The Alchemist.
Yo, I really like that book as well. Yeah. Paulo Coelho.
Yeah, totally, totally.
I read that book three times in like three very different stages of my life. Every time, same effect.
Yeah, totally. It's that thing, you know. It has that. I would also say in regards to like there were some nonfiction books that I read that really changed my life. From Malcolm Gladwell.
Oh, Malcolm Gladwell, yes. Very good guy.
Like, if you want anything about self-help and personal development, like, you got to read Blink, Tipping Point.
Tipping Point, yes. There was that other one that I really like. That one's my favorite for Malcolm Gladwell, Outliers.
Outliers, yeah.
One, I really like it. You know, Malcolm Gladwell has a podcast, and it's really good.
Yes.
It's called Revisionist History.
Yeah. I haven't started listening to it, but I really want to get into it.
Dude, really good. Yeah. But my favorite episodes are from season one, so I highly recommend you scroll all the way down and start listening from there.
Okay.
Rather than his new stuff, which is still good, but not as good as the first one.
Totally exciting. Yeah. There's actually a funny story about Malcolm Gladwell. Mm. So I wanted to follow him on Instagram, and he has a, I don't know, I think it's very humble, but he has a private Instagram account. Oh. So
you gotta send a request.
Yeah, you have to send a request, and I requested, and I was like, man, I don't know if he's gonna follow me back. Like, this is Malcolm Gladwell. So I waited like years. Like, I literally waited like 2 years for him to follow me back, and then randomly one day,
follow you back or I mean, accept your request?
Sorry, I mean accept my request. Okay. Yeah, I wish you would follow me back. That would be amazing. That would be even better. But randomly one day, like, he just. Like, Malcolm Gladwell accepted your follower request, and I was like, yes.
After a year.
Mission accomplished. Or years. Yeah, it was about like a year.
Oh, wow.
Mission accomplished.
How many followers does he have? Do you remember?
I think because he doesn't accept everybody's follow, I think like 16,000 or 17,000.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I wonder what happened there. Was he like just sitting on like 1,000 followers and want to like see what he's up to? And he's just like, one day, you know what? Accept them all. Yes.
I think that's a life milestone. If I ever sit with Malcolm Gladwell, I'm going to be like, Malcolm, why don't you accept everybody's following? Why is your account private?
Maybe we'll shoot him an email, try to get to the bottom of this. Okay, well, I have another question about your writing process. Do you write on assignment, or do you wait for inspiration to hit you and then start writing?
Yeah, it's not that technical. It's the inspiration is a wave.
Okay.
A lot of the times I'll come home from work, or I'll come home from an event, or I'll come home from just an outing, going out, and it'll just hit me, right? Like, there was just this thing that comes out. It's almost as if, again, this is going to sound very poetic, but it's almost as if the words were already there. Mm-hmm. And now they're coming to the surface.
Okay.
It's like you do it so much that words are just, you know, it'll take me like 10 minutes or 15 minutes to like do this because it's already in me, if that makes sense. Like, it was just thoughts and just experiences waiting to come to surface. Yeah. So I would say just tap into that deepest part of yourself and let your truths come out, because that truth is not just your truth. It's the truth of a lot of people.
Yeah.
This is you don't realize sometimes how much you have in common with others.
Totally. Yeah. It's also like your personal experience is unique, but your interpretation of your personal experience is going to be similar to so many people around the world will be able to connect.
Yeah. It's universal. It's really, really universal. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I do feel like, because I really believe in energy, and I really believe that we are all connected, you know? Mm-hmm. And I believe sometimes it's like this energy that happens sometimes when I write, it's part of something bigger than just myself.
Right.
Yeah. It's very powerful.
So from there, I want to ask, what do you think is the role of art in a society?
Yeah, so I think that the artist is the cultural curator. So like, it can be a culture of a city, it can be a culture of a country, it can be global culture, but basically the artist is almost the executive director of how the culture is going to be decorated. Like, they direct the, they decorate the culture. They're the ones that make... They color it, you know? It's almost as if culture is like a coloring book. like a culture of anywhere, and the artist is the one that decorates it. He gives it life. He or she gives it life. They make the person of the culture really like see all these colors and all of these lights.
Damn, that's really good analogy. I really like that.
Thank you, sir.
I'm like thinking right now, oh yeah, let's say the government or the country outlines the culture, and then it's the job of the artist in the country to color it up.
Totally.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. I mean, just like you hear someone like or you study someone like Picasso, or you study someone like Rembrandt, or you study someone like Van Gogh, or you listen to somebody like Kanye West or Kendrick Lamar, and you notice it. You notice that there's these people, like you reach a point where you, as an artist, you realize like, look, like I'm in a place, and there is something I have to do. This is not just words that I'm putting together.
Yeah.
There is this thing that I have to do for people.
Yeah.
And that involves bringing them together or giving them this sort of representation. So I'm an artist, and I'm not just an artist, I'm an ambassador for a group of people.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Whether it's like local, regional.
Yeah.
100%. Like you think Kendrick Lamar, and you can't help but think like, you know, wherever he is from the States, I'm not so sure. Yeah. But
he's from Compton.
Okay, yeah. So you think, I don't know, like Mona Lisa, you're thinking like France, so on and so forth.
It's always there. Yeah. It's always there. You look at any artist, whether it's, you mentioned Mona Lisa, you look at Da Vinci. Da Vinci was prominent during the Renaissance era. And, you know, that was big time for Rome.
Yeah. And vice versa.
Yeah.
When you were in Chicago, or do you still visit Chicago?
It's still home to me. I plan on visiting, hopefully, like going back this year.
Okay. And now that you visit Chicago as a rapper more evolved and poet life more evolved, do you go see shows there?
Yeah, well, I can tell you, like, the thing is, when I lived in Jordan, I was 16, 17, and I went back to Chicago. So when I went back to Chicago, I continued my journey from there. I got exposed to the rap scene and poetry scene there.
Okay.
And I performed a lot. And there is this...
Ooh, tell us more about that.
Yeah, 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 totally. I was around 17, and I would actually go to open mics in Chicago. But Chicago, as beautiful as it is as a city and as diverse as it is as a city, it's very segregated. There is a black community, there's a Mexican community, a Hispanic community, there is an Arab community, a Palestinian community. So like, I grew up in the Palestinian community, and there is this kind of Truman Show effect of like, you don't really leave, you know, you don't get out. Like, this is where you're from, and like, you kind of stick to your own group, you stick to your cluster. But I think living in Amman, right, it opened my mind. I broke out of that barrier. Yeah. So as I developed as a poet in Chicago, I always wanted to break out of that barrier and connect with more and reach my hand out. So I would go to open mic events in, you know, like the Hispanic community, black community, these urban areas that people from where I grew up, specifically like the town, they didn't go there. So I would go as this like 17-year-old Arab kid in a poetry event in the south side of urban Chicago. And they'd look at me like with this surprise, but they embraced me with love.
Right.
Because that's the thing about poetry and art, is that the words speak for itself.
Yeah.
The truth is itself. So I go and I'll perform and I listen to another artist, you know, from the black community or Hispanic community, and I would connect with them. Connect with them. And it really gave me a sense of connection of being also someone that considers himself from Chicago as well. Like just the struggles that African American black people have to go through, or Hispanic people. You hear their stories.
Right.
And it's one of those tearjerkers. So like we had mentioned, you know, you hear someone performing, and you hear about, like, for example, their brother or relative or friend got shot. And you hear that, like, you actually see that in person. It's polarizing.
I bet. As opposed to like just hearing about it in the news in the Middle East.
Yeah, because a lot of the times they'll cry on stage. They'll cry on stage from that such traumatic event.
Yeah, personal experience too. Yeah. Yeah, and when it's like someone who's went through the personal experience telling it to you in a very vulnerable way, it's very different from like a news anchor. And then it sticks in your head.
Totally. Yeah, that's why I understood. I got captivated from, you know, from Chicago, and I really just have this sense of empathy for, you know, people from the African American community. Right. You know, the crime rate, hopefully it will reduce soon. But yeah, Chicago is it's tough. It's tough. You know, the crime rate is very high. Yeah. It's just you can only wish that. Or just pray for them, really. Mm. Yeah, pray for them because it's...
Yeah, I have a couple of friends who've lived in Chicago. I've actually also visited them there. And yeah, like people from Chicago, for example, could come here and they could see, مثلاً, for example, Dana Dejani's performance at the Ramadan event. Remember that one about Palestine? And then the same effect would happen.
That's the thing, because when you come from, you know, you're Palestinian, I think you automatically identify with that as a form of oppression.
Yeah.
A form of oppression and a form of like really struggle that connects with you deep down, because you kind of understand it.
Oh, so I mean, we understand it as Palestinian, but like let's say someone from Chicago came and listened to that performance. They would have been like, oh, damn, people are going through that?
Yeah.
It's a different struggle than us, but...
They'll go through it. They'll connect with it. Actually, there's an artist by the name of Vic Mensa. He's a rapper from Chicago.
Okay.
And I've gotten the privilege to see him perform live. Awesome artist. Really, 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 really cool. But I think recently he had actually gone to Palestine.
Uh-huh.
And he... you know, vocalized his, you know, his observations of what's going on. And he just really spoke on behalf of, you know, for the Palestinian people. And he kind of also correlated it with the struggles in Chicago. So, it's very different situations, but also similar. At the same time, there's this hardship that kind of gives you that empathy.
But on a more positive side, on Chicago, man, you guys got that deep dish pizza. It's
Oh my god, man. That's the thing. I love Dubai, but I need my deep dish. I need my gyros. I need my Italian beef. Like, what's going on? Why am I deprived of this? When I get to the airport from Chicago, literally, that's where I'm going. I'm going to my local Italian beef.
That deep dish pizza took at least 5 years out of my life.
Man, and shout out Giordano's. Shout out Giordano's. You go to Chicago, you go to Giordano's right away.
Seriously. Oh, man, that's funny. Embarrassing story. Do you have any embarrassing story?
I think... Okay, when I was a pre-teenager, I was like 12, 13. I had this uncanny desire to be cool, to impress the friends that I wanted to make. I wanted them to be my friends. So one time, this is like embarrassing, but it's okay. I was chilling in my apartment building, and the apartment building glass, there's like a door and then there's a glass right next to it. So my friends or soon to be friends, I hoped, were sitting outside. They were outside. They were chilling in front of my building.
All right.
So I don't know if you ever did this when you were a kid, but it's like you act like you bounce on a wall and then you fall.
Dude, I do this to this day.
So I did that. I was aiming to do that with the glass that was...
Oh, my God. Yeah?
Yeah. So the only problem is I wasn't like really close to the glass and just bounced. I was like at the other end of the corridor going to the glass. So I ran from the end of the corridor to the glass in the hopes that I'm just going to bounce off. I didn't bounce off.
You went right through.
I ran right through the glass. ended up opening like my arm. I still have the stitches to this day. Oh yeah, my God. I have the stitches to this day.
That's so funny. Oh my God. I mean, I don't know. I'm not that sorry that I'm laughing. It's hilarious. You did this
to yourself. It was horrible. It was clumsy. It was super clumsy. And it was during Ramadan, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like it was literally an hour or two before iftar. Uh-huh. And my mom was about to make the best meal. It was like a chicken tikka. It was like one of her best chicken tikkas that she was about to make.
Signature Mama Yaz.
Yeah. And I was so excited to eat this chicken tikka. And I ran through a glass. And I ended up in a hospital looking at myself. At one point, terrified because I just ran through a glass and my arms are open and my legs are open and I have to get stitches, but at the same time fascinated because I'm getting stitches and stitches are cool for a 12-year-old to brag about. And maybe those same friends will actually become my friends
because of my stitches.
Yeah. Tough.
Oh, well, did they become your friends or no?
They did. Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, temporarily.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished.
Dude, to this day, sometimes I do that trick where I just like make myself like as if I would hit my head on the wall in front of my girlfriend, like as a joke.
Just never do it from a very far away distance. Yeah. Just make sure you're very close.
Yeah, make sure it's not glass too. Notes taken.
For 22, I done lit a pretty wild life. I done seen a couple things, had my spirit die twice. It's the young spitter, Middle East finest. In a couple years, you will address me as your highness. Clocks on the wall, but lost track of what time is. But the sound was always timeless. Damn, where'd you find this? I stepped into the game to redefine it. The flow is so rude, you should find it. I hear the competition and I vomit. I heard that your stars are not aligning. These boys are paranoid, I got them tracking every move. You are not in my division, you just cater to a fantasy. Hey doctor, I'm way too lit, but no Xannies. From running from home to running shit under top secret. I took an L for you, but now I think we're finally even. All these boys in observance like I'm Drizzy Drake. I should start a bakery, cause this a piece of cake. All my friends winning, you just ain't never heard. They were talking down, but now not a single word. The plan was always to shock them and keep the pot stirred. And tell an underestimation just seemed absurd. Knocking down the door, tell me who the city for. You boys are sweeter than Kunafa and the pity for. Pity the boy that hide online cause anxiety. How many rappers I know that secretly admire me? Bobby Boucher, Kamikaze, Wasabe, what's happening? Don't be mad, yo girl, what's happening? Change the format like my innovative predecessors. Watch me spill the beans and turn you all into a bunch of messes. Confidence, stay ominous, don't be anonymous. Success and ambition are synonymous. Treat the way the riches like it's common sense. And treat the sound wave like a utility. And compose soliloquies, I got too much agility. Call that shit infinite ability. Terrorize the rap game willingly. I spent 7 years demonstrating hard work in this game. A million times left in the dirt, yeah. I was sleeping in the streets in the times I'd never sleep. For the passion, for the glory, for the power of the beat. I'm a shooter with the flow, spraying newsies with the heat. Do, do, do right on these hoes and we ain't rapping for retweets. I'm a motherfucking monster, yeah. Said I'm a motherfucking monster. Listen. What's my cause and what's my call to action? And why you act surprised when you hear a Muslim rapping? And why was it so difficult for them to cast Aladdin? And can my art be marketed despite my brown collection? I ask questions on these songs and I ask them with affection. And I ain't scared of rejection. And we gon' do it when we wanna do it, how we do it. Hit them with the shock of heaven, asking how we do it. Swear I didn't wanna do it, but you leave me with no option. I just had to get into it, yeah. Just had to get into it, yeah. And we gon' do it when we wanna do it, how we do it. Hit him with the shock of heaven, asking how we do it. Swear I didn't wanna do it, but you leave me with no option. I just had to get into it, yeah. Just had to get into it, yeah.
get into it. Yeah.